Blog Talk Radio.
It's too young to be on that bridge. It's too young to be sitting on the edge. Too young to be on the bridge. You're too young.
Welcome to the Healthy Baby Boomers Network Blog Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, a spiritual relationship healing expert, helping men and women heal their bodies, their relationships, and their lives through love, author of the book Love Me, Touch Me, Heal Me, and director of HealthyBabyBoomersNetwork.com. This show is all about living your dreams, fulfilling your life purpose, and creating and sustaining love and health and total well-being for the rest of your life, no matter how old you are right now. In every episode, I speak with vibrant, exciting, and positive men and women who are showing that life can and will be better and better as we reach our 40s, 50s, and 60s and beyond. Today, I'm excited to be speaking with Rosalind Sadaka, a fellow relationship coach and co-author with Amy Sherman of 99 Things Women Wish They Knew Before Dating After 40, 50, and yes, 60. This new book is filled with insights and advice women need to know before dating or entering into a romantic relationship. Rosalind was divorced and then single for 8 years before happily remarrying. She has much to share about challenges related to dating in midlife, communication skills, and how your level of self-esteem affects your choices and results in dating and relationships. Rosalind is on the board of directors of We Magazine for Women and Child Sharing, Inc. She's an advisor at ParentalWisdom.com, a contributing writer for Exceptional People Magazine, and the 2008 first place winner of the Victorious Woman Award. Rosalind is the creator of several relationship courses and leads workshops for singles and couples on relationship and dating challenges. And so many of us are challenged in this area. So welcome, Rosalind.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So let's begin right away by, why don't you share with us some of your background and what led you to become a relationship coach and to create this book and get those awards and everything that you've been doing.
Well, my background was in writing, and I was doing a lot of marketing and public relations writing for clients. But when I got divorced and then started my life over in looking for healthy new relationships, I found that I had insights and awareness from my own experience and from the fact that my sister and all of my closest friends are psychotherapists. So I've been surrounded by that community and took courses and classes and attended workshops on relationships. And I found that in my single years, I was facilitating workshops for singles and couples because too many people focus on the wrong direction when they're looking for healthy relationships. And I wanted to make sure they weren't wasting their time on superficial things or looking for quick fixes when there is so much more at stake, and ultimately became a relationship coach and continued doing those workshops. And then finally, 2 years ago, my sister and I decided to collaborate on writing 99 Things Women Wish They Knew. And it's been a wonderful experience because it's opened a world to us of focusing on the specific needs of women over 40. And there's a huge population of women who are starting over either because of divorce or death in the family where they have to start a new relationship. And dating in midlife, as you well know, is totally different from dating when you're in your 20s.
That's great. I just, something that you said, people focused on the wrong thing. Can you speak a little bit more about that before we get into some more questions?
It frustrates me because, remember that book, The Rules, was popular about 10 years ago? And everything about that book irritated me because the rules were gimmicks. They were tricks. They were things that if you did it this way and looked that way and said this and moved in this way and used your eyes in that way, then somehow you were going to be creating, finding a date and finding a healthy relationship and end up married. And, of course, it was pure garbage. And those women were interviewed on TV constantly for several years. And everything they talked about were just gimmicks. And the reality is that we bring with us our background, our history. We bring with us the baggage that we carry from former relationships. And if we just discard that and pretend it didn't happen and learn some flirting techniques or ways to move our bodies or dress in a certain way, yes, you may get some dates to start, but after you know someone for a month or two or three, you can't be dependent on gimmicks. You have to be your authentic self, and you have to have skills. You have to have communication skills. You have to have self-esteem. You have to know how to handle the challenges and issues that inevitably come up in any relationship. And those approaches were never helping people and arming them with the information and the tools they really needed. So the focus of everything that my sister Amy Sherman and I are doing is all about healthy dating, creating healthy, lasting, meaningful relationships that we know that 99% of women are really looking for.
That's amazing. My complete relationship system focuses in a similar way on the real factors to look at, not the superficial. Because someone can follow some of those rules and maybe get involved with somebody and maybe even get married. But you can only pretend and follow some kind of rules for so long. Sooner
totally
or later,
agree.
Your true personality comes out.
Totally agree with you. Yes.
So what are some of the biggest fears that women have about dating after leaving a long-term relationship, even if they're the one that chose to leave it?
Right, and that's a very good point. Unfortunately, all women seem to have more insecurities than men in our culture, and that's because we've been looked at so much as physical entities. And so women in midlife start feeling that they're competing with younger women, and they look at every extra pound that they're carrying, they look at every wrinkle, and things that the way they looked and felt, that's different than when they were 10, 20, 30 years younger, and they criticize themselves and they barrage themselves and they start letting those fears and anxieties and insecurities affect them. So if you're going out into the world again and dating and looking for new partners, but if deep inside you're feeling unworthy or you're feeling unattractive and you're feeling, who is going to want to choose me when there's so many younger, thinner, prettier, more talented, whatever people out there, then you're setting yourselves up for disappointment. You're setting yourself up for being rejected because you're basically putting out an energy that says, I'm not that valuable, I'm not that worthy, I'm desperate. And desperate people attract into their lives people who want to take advantage of their neediness, and that's when you attract the kind of men that we hear too many headlines about abusive men and controlling and domineering and manipulative men and people who are not treating women respectfully. But if you
I see something else going on. I've had several people say this to me, that I met a guy and he seemed so nice and he seemed to like me and we were going along great, and then he stopped calling. And that also happens when a woman is coming across too needy. He's picking
mm-hmm.
it up.
That's
I
right.
I mean, it's not always that reason, but a lot of times it is.
Yes, people pick up on that neediness, and healthier men don't want to be in a relationship with needy people. No, women don't want to be in a relationship with needy men. So our antenna will pick up on that. And so the whole key is for you to do the inner work first before you get out there, because you save yourself a lot of aggravation, a lot of time. And by doing inner work and working with people like you and working with professionals who are offering insights and skills and tools, you step out there and you're a different person, and magically, it seems, you just attract a different kind of person to you.
Absolutely. That neediness, one of the reasons that people are shy away from it is that when someone's very needy, they're not really loving you. You don't even know if they care about you. They're like looking at the idea of a partner, the idea of a marriage.
Yes. There's that desperation that appears, and it's a huge responsibility that you're placing on your partner without realizing it when you are needy and desperate, because that person is not becoming a partner. They're becoming someone that's holding you up.
Right.
And inevitably, it may last for a few months and it may even last for a few years, but inevitably that relationship is going to go sour, because no one wants to be holding another person up for long periods of time. Our lives are complex enough. Keeping ourselves upright is difficult enough at times. And so it's putting an inordinate responsibility on a potential relationship partner. And it's
and
never
I would
worked
say,
for you.
When you're really young, sometimes the partner wants that. One of us or the other wants
mm-hmm.
a person who's needy because you're first developing yourself. But as you get a little bit older, most people don't want that anymore.
Exactly, exactly. And so it becomes a real challenge for some women to realize their own self-worth and to be able to feel confident enough in themselves that who they are is enough. But if you don't feel you're good enough yourself, you can't convince someone else that you are.
That's for sure. So what are some important questions that a woman can ask herself before getting out there in the dating world?
You want to ask yourself if you're clear and clean about your past relationship, what lessons did I learn from it, and how can I move ahead now and be better, smarter, wiser as a result? If we look at our past and past relationships, often we'll be sad. Breaking up is sad and difficult. But if we look at those relationships and learn from them and say, I could have chosen this, I should have said and done that, I shouldn't have put up with such and such, various things, if you look at those insights as gifts and lessons to begin with, then it becomes like a course in school and you move on and you graduate and you move ahead into being a healthier you. If you don't have that introspection and that insight and you don't gain anything, and you're still holding on to your past relationship and holding on to a lot of emotional connection to it, you're not living in the present. You can't step into a new relationship because you're either tied to the past, you're still holding on to hoping you'll get back with your former relationship partner, or you're filled with so much anger that you can't really be available to another person. Your heart isn't open. All of those things are creating obstacles to having a good beginning for a solid relationship. So ask yourself questions about your past, and if you need help getting clear, getting separate, moving on, then see a professional. Get some coaching, get counseling, join a group, but get tools to get insights, because then you can move ahead with a new step in a new direction. The worst feeling is that feeling of being in the same kind of relationship with another person. Their face changes, but it's the same kind of person, and you're back in your old pattern. and the same old habits and the same arguments happen because you're just moving from one relationship to another, and no one has dealt with their issues. You don't want to fall into that trap.
And those issues go way back to childhood. We
yes.
have a certain way that we react based on so much that's gone on before. So
yes.
I was thinking of something as you were just talking, someone at the health club who had just broken up with someone, I don't remember if it was a husband or a boyfriend, had just broken up, and she met a new guy who was texting her every day, and she was just so ecstatic and saying, now I met someone wonderful, he's texting every day, he's so much sweeter. And all I thought was, you don't know anything about this person.
Yes, yes.
So that comes to a question that you had mentioned something about fairy tale thinking. So let me know
yes.
what that is.
Let me just provide another question before we move into that, and that is to ask yourself, what am I looking for in a partner? What are the non-negotiable essential qualities, and what can I be flexible about? You want to be thinking about that, too, before you're ready to move on again, because if you don't really know what you're looking for and you can't differentiate the physical and traits from the character traits, which are so much more important, then you're going to also get caught up in a maze of making poor choices, which, and one of them is fairy tale thinking. When you have fairy tale thinking, then you're looking for things that are unrealistic in a relationship. And women have been inundated since early childhood with the concept of Prince Charming coming out to rescue you. And it makes us have expectations that are so unrealistic. We believe in fantasies. We expect life to be like a movie or a book. And then when it doesn't happen, and it can't happen, we're very deeply wounded and disappointed. And so we're really being very irresponsible when we are focused on fairy tale thinking. No Prince Charming is going to come and rescue you. You have to be responsible for yourself in your relationships and in your life. And that's a wonderful, empowering feeling if you accept it that way. And we also want to remember that it's not your partner's job to make you happy, which is part of the fairy tale thinking. Making you happy takes personal inner work. And when we expect other people to do the job for us, again, we set ourselves up for deep disappointment. So we have to stop the unrealistic expectations and stop losing track with reality and start trusting our intuition about knowing when we're with someone who's worth our attention. And it's also harmful because you don't want to be wasting time looking for this perfect prince to show up and ignoring and overlooking some perfectly good candidates. There may be people who are connecting with you and trying to date you, and you're overlooking them because you have this erroneous expectation of George Clooney coming along, and that's very disappointing.
And if you got involved with George Clooney, it might not be such a wonderful experience.
Exactly, exactly. So we have to get real, ladies, and that's our responsibility.
But that's the part that's so hard for so many people. And I have
yes.
another question. What is one of the most dangerous aspects of dating that middle-aged women often overlook?
Well, believe it or not, the incidence of sexually transmitted diseases is on the rise in record rates for middle-aged and older singles due to having multiple sexual partners. And once Viagra came into the picture, dating in midlife and older life has changed dramatically as far as sexuality. There's been a 193% increase in syphilis in the over 50 population demographic. Herpes has been increasing, chlamydia, gonorrhea, and AIDS for boomers and older. So we have to be very careful and responsible. Just because you may be past your baby creating age doesn't mean that there aren't other things to be careful of when you're having sex. So
there's a term you may not have heard of. It's used in Florida in the condominiums, they call them condo Casanovas.
Oh.
These men that sleep around with a lot of women at the condo complex.
Yes, and unfortunately, as women, we always have to be the more responsible ones because no one else is safeguarding us, so we have to take care of ourselves.
So now an important question also is how much should you share and talk about your previous relationships, yours and the other person's? How much is helpful and how much is maybe interfering with, you know, the present romance?
Well, that's a very good question. You want to talk about enough to find out whether you're comfortable with the way your partner has handled the past relationships. But you don't want to start on the first date getting into a lot of depth and detail. So the first date or two are really a light introduction to things that you have commonalities and mutual interests and learning a little bit about this person. But you do want to, after that, start finding out about the relationships they had in the past. People who didn't have good past relationships and are bad-mouthing their exes in intense ways can also be people who might be doing that with you down the line. And so you want to listen carefully, ask questions, and find out about their approach to their former relationships and the responsibility they took and the part that they played in any of it. And you want to see how much honesty and candor that someone will reveal. You also want to find out if you're comfortable with the way they handled past relationships. And I would also ask, again, not in the first or second date, but about their relationship with their own parents.
That's so important.
Yes. And their relationship with their children. Because you learn a lot about people when they're just discussing things in a casual way, just by the attitude and how deep the relationship. You can see things and grasp things and get insights that are beyond just what they're saying. So be free to ask questions and discuss those things and share with yours. But you don't want to be dwelling. And if anyone is too attached to constantly be focusing on the past and constantly be bad-mouthing their ex and talking about this and that and the other thing, I'd steer away as early as possible because that's someone who has not let go, gotten clear, and moved on in their life. And you don't want to be in bed with two or three other past relationships.
That's so true. And another thing is that a lot of women, because they want a person, it's back to that neediness, because you want someone so much, you might overlook some of these things that you're noticing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the problems is that if you become sexually involved, you have oxytocin, a hormone that gets released, and then you can become attached to someone and want to bond with them, and it can be too late to follow those warning signs. It's a lot easier right at the beginning.
Yes.
To back away if something...
Absolutely, which is a very good reason why you should not have sex too soon. I really believe that sex gets very complicated, especially for women, because it's so connected to our emotional and psychological well-being. And if you're feeling pressured to have sex, you should never have sex. And if you're tempted but not sure, wait a few dates. I waited several months with my husband. I really felt that I wanted to get to know him, and I wanted our relationship to be clean and clear, and I wasn't sure about whether he was the one for a while, and so we dated without having sex until I was finally ready. And then when I felt that I was really falling in love with him, it felt different, and I was ready to do that. But you want to wait until you're ready, whatever time that is, it's when you're ready, not on his timetable, and when you're feeling comfortable.
I would want to add something, baby boomers, many of them grew up in a time where there was free love. So many of us were used to, you know, you go out with someone, you sleep with them right away. That was going on a lot.
That's right.
But at an older age, times are different, and our attitudes are different, and our needs are different, and we can't really behave freely like that anymore. if we want to be happy and create a wonderful relationship.
I totally agree.
So how do you know if you're settling for someone? Because, you know, you're looking, it's a nice person, and, you know, and you just
yes.
don't know about them.
Yes. Well, one of the first things that I think is a criteria for knowing is, do you feel valued in the relationship? Again, you're settling if you're overlooking things that you don't really like, but you're saying, well, he's a pretty good guy, I'll overlook this. Yes, we need to overlook things because we're never going to find a perfect partner, just like our partners will have to overlook things in us, but it's a matter of what we're overlooking. And when it comes to character qualities, those aren't things that you overlook. Honesty and integrity, a commitment, sense of responsibility, a sense of humor, candor and authenticity, you know, those qualities are things that are very important. You also want to make sure that you're not coming from that place of neediness. And ask yourself, are you settling just for any person just so that you have a partner, or is this really someone who's special for you? That's a very important differentiation. Are you really enjoying your time together, or are you overlooking some of the warning signs of abuse and pushing things aside, pretending that they don't matter just because you want to be in a relationship? Women definitely have a tendency to fall in love with being in love. We want to be loved, we want to be needed, we want to be in a partnership, and very often we sell ourselves short and get involved too soon with someone who really doesn't meet our standards. That's why when you do that inner work first and you start feeling that new level of confidence, you would attract someone who is better and better for you, and also someone who has done the inner work themselves on the other side. But you want to make sure that your old feelings of fear, of not being respected, being controlled, and all of that are not at stake in this new relationship. You don't want to be ignoring those warning signs just because you don't want to lose someone.
And also, it's good to realize that relationships are a responsibility and there is work involved, and it requires you giving. It's not just about receiving.
Absolutely.
So there's a little bit of time left. So how can our listeners access your free tip sheet on avoiding dating disasters?
All they have to do is go to Women Dating After 40, and that's 40, womendatingafter40.com, and just give me your email address on that page, and we'll immediately send you the tip sheet on avoiding dating disasters, which has a lot of really good sound advice that women can take advantage of, because we all think very similarly, and we all have similar goals and desires, and we sabotage ourselves. And so by making sure that we are doing the best for ourselves, we are creating happier, healthier relationships, and also avoiding wasting a lot of time. And a lot of us have looked back and said, boy, did I waste time in that relationship for a while. We don't want to be doing that anymore.
Rosalind, I want to thank you so much for sharing these valuable tips and insights with our listeners about dating. You are going to be and have been helping so many women to be aware of the potential dangers and also to have the potential happiness that they really want.
That's
thank
wonderful.
You for being here.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And our future shows will be listed in the upcoming section of blogtalkradio.com/Dr. Erica G. I am your host, Dr. Erica Goodstone, saying goodbye for now. Please visit my website, healthybabyboomersnetwork.com, to get your free report, How to Live to 100 and Beyond. Sign up for my Healing Through Love seminar series, which just opened, and it will be lecturing in just a few days. And find my reawakening love chapter in the book Adventures in Manifesting, createhealinginlovenow.com/manifesting.htm, or schedule an appointment at drericawellness.com.